الحمد لله الحمد لله على جميع نعمه والشكر له على امتنانه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد عبده ورسوله رحمة للعالمين أما بعد فيا إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I remind you and myself to have taqwa of Allah, for the end will be for the people of taqwa. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the human being, the believer, he has a high rank and a noble destiny with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believer, he is not stained by sin, but rather he purifies himself from sin by withholding and staying away from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. The believer does not become intoxicated by his passions and desires. He does not become noxious by illicit actions, but rather he purifies himself by fleeing away from sin. He purifies his soul. He purifies his soul by staying away from everything which Allah has forbidden. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, every organ in the body will be asked about on the Day of Judgment. And those who withhold their eyes and their body and their limbs from sin, and from the greatest of sin is the zina, if they withhold their limbs from zina, illicit sexual intercourse, then their body, their senses will be a witness for them, a good witness on the Day of Judgment. Allah Most High, He says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفُظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَٰلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Say to the believing men, lower their gaze and guard their private organs. That is purity for them. ذَٰلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That is purity for them. And Allah is aware of what they do. And say to the believing women, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَا فُرُوجَهُنَّ. And say to the believing women, guard their chastity and lower down their gazes. That is purer for them. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, purity is by guarding the awra, by covering the awra, the private parts, from being seen by others. By being seen by others and the viewing of it, we must protect our awrat, our privacy and our chastity, and protect ourselves and all our organs from the illicit actions. And this is the way that we will be safe on the Day of Judgment. Beloved brothers in Islam and sisters in Islam, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ stated, guard your awrat, protect your private parts, except from your spouse and those whom your right hands possess. Narrated by Tirmidhi. The awra is the all of the body of a woman, except her hands and face, according to most ulama. And for the man, between the navel and the knees. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, let no man look at the awra of another man, and let no woman look at the awra of another woman. Let not a man undress in front of a man with only a single article or one thobe, and let not a woman undress in front of a woman with a single article of clothing. Narrated by Muslim. So the privacy of the awra is even in front of those of the same gender. And Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated that whoever guarantees and preserves for me what is between his two jaws or his two beards, and what is between his two legs, I guarantee for him paradise. Narrated by Bukhari. What is meant by the two jaws is the tongue. And what is meant by the two legs, between the two legs, is the private parts. And this hadith, it was also narrated by Tirmidhi, who said in a similar wording that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what can I do, or what is the thing that brings the most people to paradise? He said, good character and taqwa of Allah. Fearing Allah and having good akhlaq, good character. And then Abu Huraira, he asked, what is the thing that brings the most people to the hellfire? He said, the tongue and the private organs. The tongue and the private organs. Narrated by Tirmidhi. Brothers in Islam and sisters in Islam, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, and his father, he narrated that also that Allah, he curses the people who do the actions of the people of Lut. The Prophet ﷺ, he repeated it three times. Allah curses those who do the actions of the people of Lut. Narrated by Ahmad and Ibn Hibban. Promiscuity is spread in our society. Everywhere we look, zina is taking place. One person told me of, locally, a girl 15 years old, 8 months pregnant. She's still in homeschool. The people of Lut doing their actions openly. Walid ibn Abdul Malik, the caliph who built the Umayyad Masjid, he said, if Allah did not narrate the story of the people of Lut in the Quran, I would not have believed that a man could do this to another man. So against the fitrah, something that is against the very nature that Allah has created in the human being. He said, if Allah didn't mention it in the Quran, I could not believe that people would do this action. A man could be over another man. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned about the danger of zina, the danger of illicit sexual intercourse, especially for a person who is older. He said, there are three people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there are three people whom Allah azza wa jal will not speak to on the day of judgment, and he will not purify them, and he will not look at them, and they will have a grievous punishment. Four terrible results of this action. Allah will not speak to them, he will not look at them, he will not purify them, and they will have a grievous punishment. The first, Shaykhun Zan, an older man who committed zina. Somebody who is beyond the age of youth who committed the zina, the illicit zina acts. And Malikun Kadhab, a king who lies. And A'ilun Mustakbir, a poor person who was arrogant. Narrated by Muslim. Imam Ahmad, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I do not know of anything greater after killing than zina. I do not know of a greater sin after killing, murder, than the zina, the act of zina. And Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, she narrates a very important hadith about when there was a solar eclipse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood long in prayer. After a very long prayer, within which the Sahaba were very worried, he got up and he stood on the minbar and he warned the ummah, very passionate khutbah. He said after this long prayer, O ummah of Muhammad, no one has more ghira than Allah. No one has more jealousy than Allah over his slave when he commits zina, or over his female slave when she commits zina. O Ummah of Muhammad, by Allah, if you knew what I knew, you would cry much and laugh little. Have I not completed the message? Narrated by Muslim. Brothers and sisters in Islam, fear Allah, beware of His wrath and punishment, His anger and His repayment. O Muslims, it has been ordained to refrain from indecency, from things that cause indecency, and to cut off the paths that lead to indecency and lead towards it, and to refrain from men presenting themselves in front of women, and to refrain from women presenting themselves to men. Usama ibn Zayd, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have not left a fitna, a temptation, greater or more harmful to men than women. Agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. And also Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, beware of the dunya and be warned of the women, of women. The first temptation for the Bani Israel was in women. The first fitna for the Bani Israel was in the women, narrated by Imam Muslim. So we see the strong warning of unlawful mixing with between men and women, and the disastrous consequences that result from men and women intermingling freely. Beloved brothers in Islam and sisters in Islam, Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, beware, be warned upon entering upon women. A man from the Ansar, he said, Ya Rasulullah, what about our brother, the brother-in-law? The husband, his wife is in the house. What about his brother-in-law? As if, is there any harm in it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Alhamu al-maut. The brother-in-law is death. He meant it was serious. The brother-in-law is a great danger to be alone with one's wife. Agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. And let us listen also to what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, narrated by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said that no man should be alone with a woman, and no woman should be alone with a man except that her mahram is with her. There should not be khalwa. The man and the woman should not be alone in a closed space where no one can see them. Because as we see in the next hadith, this was narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. In the next hadith, we see Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu stating that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one of you, none one is alone, secluded with a woman, except who is the third? The shaitan. The shaitan is the third. When men and women are alone together, we know the danger that results from this illicit relationship. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, also Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, we see all of these prophetic narrations. He said, the woman is awra. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the woman is awra. The woman is awra. If she leaves the house, the shaitan will accompany her. Narrated in another hadith, he beautifies her to the eyes of people. What is closest to her is to remain near her home, in her home, narrated by Ibn Hibban. And Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a woman who perfumes herself and walks amongst men so they smell or are aware of her fragrance, then she is like so and so. And he said very strong words. The narrator didn't mention it, but he said very, very strong words, narrated by Abu Dawood, about her. And on the authority of Abu Musa, on Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Abu Huraira, he was walking in the street and there was a woman who was fragranced. She wore perfume. So Abu Huraira, he said, where are you going, O servant of Al-Jabbar? O female servant of Al-Jabbar? She said, to the masjid. Abu Huraira, he said, and you're wearing this perfume? She said, yes. Then Abu Huraira, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, if a woman perfumes herself and goes to the masjid, her salah is not accepted until she washes. Narrated by Ibn Majah. That a woman, when she comes to the masjid perfumed, her salah will not be accepted until she washes. And Ammara radiallahu anha, she narrates from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and the famous hadith, she said that the Messenger of Allah, if he knew what women were doing when they came to the masjid today, the new things that the women were doing, the innovative things, he would have forbade them from going to the masjid, just like the Bani Israel were forbidden from going to the masjid. So Ammara, she said, were the Bani Israel really forbidden? from going to the masjid? And she said, yes. Narrated by Muslim. So this is a reminder for our sisters to avoid those innovated things of speech and action and intermingling, those things that did not exist at the time of the Sahabiyat, when the Prophet ﷺ was there amongst them. And on the authority of Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, she said that the Prophet ﷺ, when he gave taslim, he would sit quietly and wait for a while. Then Salama, she said, the reason for that was that he wanted to let the women leave, so that they could leave privately without being crowded with the men. Narrated by Abu Dawood. And Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Prophet ﷺ once told him, when he was exiting the masjid, he said, Ya Ibn Umar, why don't you leave this door for the women? Do not leave this door, do not crowd this door, leave it for the women. So Nafi', the student of Ibn Umar, he said that Ibn Umar never went through that door again for the rest of his life. He stayed away from going to that door for the rest of his life. And let us hear one more hadith. Abu Sa'id al-Ansari, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was outside of the masjid, and the men and the women were mixing and crowding in the pathway. He said to the women to await. He said, do not take up the whole pathway, but stay on the sides. Narrated by Abu Dawood. O Muslims, believers, this is something dangerous. This is something serious. This is something dangerous. This fitna, when it spreads, it goes in all directions. It corrupts. Obey Allah so that on the day of judgment, you will be raised up on a good state. Obey Allah so that Allah will say to you when you enter paradise, Salamun alaykum tibtum fadkhuluha khalidin. Peace be upon you, you have done well. Enter it, living therein forever. May Allah bless me and you. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين استغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي الكرام, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah says in Surah الجمعة وإذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله. When the call to prayer on the day of Jum'ah is announced, فاسعوا, race to the remembrance of Allah. Hasten to the remembrance of Allah. Leave aside the dunya, the business, the worldly things, and come and hasten to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very beautiful to see all of you attending, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us that the angels who record the names of the attendees of Jum'ah, they put down their pens when the imam or the khatib stands on the minbar, and they sit and listen to the khutbah. So all of us, we should make effort, inshallah, to hasten to the masjid on time before the khutbah begins. Inshallah, you'll attain great reward. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, one last reminder, which is that all of us, would you not want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't all of us desire the love of Allah? Yes, of course. So how do we attain the love of Allah? Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah is alive through his sunnah. His sunnah is alive amongst us through the words of the ulama, through the reminder, through the scholars and people of knowledge, the imams and the shuyukh, and the classes of knowledge. So if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, obey the sunnah of Allah. How do we obey the sunnah of Allah? Through knowledge, through learning. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you follow me, Allah will love you. If you learn the religion of Allah and the sunnah and come close to the people of knowledge and to the Sharia of Allah, and remove any stain from the shaitan or hatred towards the Sharia of Allah. Know that this is from the shaitan. He wishes to part a person from the sunnah of Allah and from the people of knowledge. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will love you. Allah will love you. If you come to the house of Allah, you come to the classes of knowledge, you come closer to the Sharia of Allah, Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And He will forgive you your sins. He will purify you. Today we talked about purifying ourselves. To attain that noble destiny with Allah, the highest state, which Allah says, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored the children of Adam. So to purify ourselves and our souls, so we come to Allah pure, let us come closer to the classes of knowledge, and to the ulama, and to the sharia of Allah, and to the sunnah. Inshallah, Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. Inshallah ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين، وعن الأئمة المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين يا رب العالمين. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل وافتح علينا فتوح العارفين بك يا رب العالمين. اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح لنا ونساءنا وشبابنا يا رب العالمين. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. عباد الله، اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وأقيموا الصلاة. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون.